In her dream, they were all together in the house. Her parents, her brother, her baby sister. They were standing together in the ballroom, staring at her. They were all so pale, so grave. Portia, her mother, touched her cheek and told her that she was in danger. In her dream, Dora laughed and said she knew. Her mother shook her head. No, no, now she was in danger. Now! Dora opened her eyes. The door was opening quietly, quietly. She held her breath. Footsteps, quiet on the stone. Perhaps he won't notice me, she thought. Perhaps he'll go away. And then she thought, desperately, I'm hungry. The footsteps hesitated. She was well hidden, she knew, under a pile of newspapers and rags, and it was possible that the intruder meant her no harm. Can't he hear my heartbeat? She thought. And then the footsteps came closer, and she knew what she had to do, and it scared her. A hand pulled the covers off her, and she looked up into a blank, utterly hairless face, which creased into a vicious smile. She rolled then and twisted, and the knife blade aimed at her chest caught her in the upper arm. Until that moment, she had never thought she could do it. Never thought she would be brave enough, or scared enough, or desperate enough to dare. But she reached up one hand to his chest, and she opened. He gasped and tumbled onto her. It was wet and warm and slippery, and she slithered and staggered out from under the man, and she stumbled out of the room. She caught her breath in the tunnel outside, narrow and low, as she fell against the wall, breathing in gasps and sobs. That had taken the last of her strength. Now she was spent. Her shoulder was beginning to throb. The knife, she thought. But she was safe. My, oh my, said a voice from the darkness on her right. She survived, Mr. Ross. Well, I never, Mr. Vandemar. The voice oozed. It sounded like grey slime. Well, I never either, Mr. Croup, said a flat voice on her left. A light was kindled and flickered. Still, said Mr. Croup, his eyes gleaming in the dark beneath the earth, she won't survive us. Dora kneed him hard in the groin, and then she began randomly to run, her right hand holding her left shoulder. And she ran. Dick! Richard waved away the interruption. Life was almost under his control now, just a little more time. Gary said his name again. Dick, it's 6:30. It's what? Papers and pens and spreadsheets and trolls were tumbled into Richard's briefcase. He snapped it shut and ran. He pulled his coat on as he went. Gary was following. Are we going to have that drink then? Drink? We were meant to be getting together this evening to talk about the Mersim account, remember? That was tonight? Richard paused for a moment. If ever, he decided, they made disorganisation an Olympic sport, he could be disorganised for Britain. Gary, he said, I'm sorry, I blew it. I have to see Jessica tonight. We're taking her boss out to dinner. Mr. Stockton? Of Stockton's? The Stockton? Richard nodded. They hurried down the stairs. I'm sure you'll have fun, said Gary insincerely. And how is the creature from the Black Lagoon? Jessica's from Ilford, actually, Gary. And she remains the light and love of my life. Thank you very much for asking. By which time they were in the lobby, and Richard made a dart for the automatic doors, which spectacularly failed to open. 6:08, Mr. Mayhew, said Mr. Figgis, the building's security guard. You have to sign out. I don't need this, said Richard, to no one in particular. I really don't. Mr. Figgis smelt vaguely of medicinal liniment and was widely rumoured to have an encyclopaedic collection of softcore pornography. He guarded the doors with a diligence that bordered upon madness, never quite having lived down the evening when an entire floor's worth of computer equipment upped and left, along with two potted palms and the managing director's Axminster carpet. "So our drinks off, then?" "I'm sorry, Gary. Is Monday okay for you?"
"Sure.
Monday's fine. See you Monday." Mr. Figgis inspected their signatures and satisfied himself they had no computers, potted palms, or carpets about their persons. Then he pressed a button under his desk, and the door slid open.
"Doors," said Richard.